Well, hello everybody out there.
Music Video Land.
My name is Adam Fairholm, and welcome to another special edition of the Music Video Land podcast brought to your good friends, your super good friends, at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Douglas Klinger. Doug, are you doing fine? How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Okay. And then with us, as always, per usual, is Mr. Adam Alexander from Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how are you as well?
I'm actually perfect.
Wow, so you're doing a lot better than Doug.
A lot better.
I'm 6 of 10, and Adam's over there 10 of 10. So
his internet is a 10 of 10 today, though.
Ooh, here it is. Here goes a great internet going. It's because I have my Dropbox paused.
Ooh, is that what has been causing your...
No, actually, usually my Dropbox is normally paused, and this time it's not. I didn't pause. I was like, fuck that. Fuck that noise. I'm just letting my Dropbox do its thing.
Well, everybody, it's that time of year again. We all know the time of year. If you are a person living anywhere, you know it is end-of-the-year list times. Anybody can make an end-of-the-year list about anything. We've seen them for album of the year, you know, artists of the year, embarrassing moments of the year. Pretty much anybody who has a blog of any kind will put together some sort of top 10 list.
Not only that, Consequence of Sound has really taken this as far as they can go. They've stopped just doing lists that have anything to do with the year at all, and they're just like rolling out a bunch of lists every day now, just best Foo Fighters song. like it's just nothing to do with 2013. They're just pumping out lists right now. It's tis the season for lists.
Yeah, if you're releasing something and it's not in list form into December, shame on you. Because
you fucked up.
It used to be that these lists came out, like, I remember they would come out sort of after Christmas and before New Year's. I don't know if that's just a false memory. But now, I mean, it's, you know, it's, we're recording this on Thursday, December 12th, and like the bulk of everyone's lists have come out, like Pitchfork, Rolling Stone, like all those, and BuzzFeed actually had a music video list this week, and there also have been the, you know, YouTube top trending and top music video lists, which we will talk about because we have some issues with those.
Yeah, but all the things, all the lists,
every
all
single the lists list. Are out. And IMVDB is no different because we took this week to kind of be our list week. And we decided to do something we've never done before. We had curated lists from some people we really kind of we wanted to hear lists from, or hear what they put on a list. So we got lists from Isaac Ravi Shankara, a director who couldn't narrow it down to 10, but he did 11 music videos of the year. And they were all music videos that had a theme. They gave him, quote-unquote, the feelies.
Which everyone knows what that means.
Exactly, yeah, definitely.
Very descriptive.
And his number one video, some of them weren't in order, but Isaac did put his in order. And his number one video was the single take version of Stay by Rihanna, directed by Sophie Mueller or Muller. And this was never actually released as an official video, but...
there are sources with like several million views, though. So
yeah, it apparently was leaked by Rihanna or something like that, and then somebody took it down. I don't know. The origins of it are fuzzy, but it was a great list.
Yeah, it was a fantastic list. We did a bunch of lists. We had them all from many different walks of the music video industry, and there were a few some overlap in a lot of the lists, but a lot of them had some surprising picks as well. And
we should just go over what the lists are, because we'll link to all of them in the show notes there. One of them is Norton's top 10 music videos of 2013, which were presented in no particular order. And we also had Evan Proflaski's top 10 of the year.
So yeah, that was a good one. We had we had Norton, Evan, Isaac Ravi Shankara. We had one from Brother, who not only could they not think of 10, they couldn't even narrow it to 20. They gave me a list of 25. So you can see 25 of Brother's top music videos in playlist form. You could just hit play and sit back for like an hour or two and just watch music videos hand selected by Brother.
That was too hot for the blog. It was
too hot for the blog.
Because it's a lot of videos. There are a lot of embeds to load.
Right.
But yeah, and their list was fantastic. Brother did an awesome job, and you know, getting those 25 music videos together, because even 25 is tough to narrow it down to. We also had the Prez Brothers Which all they also did, I believe they did a numbered list, right? The top 10, they did a top
10. Yeah, they
10.
Did a full top 10. Yeah, definitely.
And I'm just loading it now, but I'm trying to remember whether their number one was Gesaffelstein, Hate or Glory.
Right.
By Fleur and Manu, which is a video that we've talked about many times on this pod, or a few times on the podcast, especially when it came out. A fantastic video.
It's in our top 50.
In our top 50, definitely. And then we also have another top of the year music video list, and it was from someone who's on this very podcast, Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix. Adam, you did your – how many did you do?
I did 10.
10. And and your number one was also by the band Gesaffelstein.
Yeah, yeah, but Pursuit, which seems to be actually of the lists that I've seen Hate or Glory and Pursuit seem to be the popular number ones across the internet. One or the other, yeah.
They've got it around. There's been some funky lists out there, let's just say. A lot of the lists have been funky, but those videos pop up frequently.
They do. They pop up in a few other lists on our site. Have they popped? I haven't looked at anybody else's lists, like Rolling Stone or BuzzFeed. Has anybody else put them on their lists?
Yeah, Pitchfork had probably both. I'm not sure about that, but they definitely have popped up across a lot of the bigger sites.
I'm glad those. So you mentioned narrowing it down to 25 has been tough. Narrowing it down to 50 has been tough too. I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, there's going to be, you know, nearly 10,000 music videos in our database.
Whoa, 10,000! I thought we settled on 8,000.
I said nearly 10. That's 8 is still nearly 10. Mm. But I think if it's there's going to be a lot. 8, 10. I mean, it's an estimation. We've got about 6 now, and several hundred that we've yet to accept in our queue, and then, you know, a few more that are going to come out, obviously between now and the end of the year. And then, you know, who knows? I mean, we definitely have had to have missed a few, and so hopefully we'll get those. You know, I'm still adding videos to the site from 2012, so. You know, stuff will pop up, but you're right. We did settle on 8,000, and I'm confident in that. So, either way, whether it's 6, 8, or 10, narrowing it down to 50 is really difficult. And I'm glad that you know, there were a few that we had to cut off our list that we really, really loved, and it was essentially just like an arbitrary choice. It's like, do you like this video more than this video? And you can't really know. Like if you did or if you do or you don't, it's kind of just a judgment call. Like I said, it's pretty arbitrary. So I've been happy for the fact that the ones that we've had to cut off our list that we would have liked to have been there, they've popped up on those other people's lists. So I'm glad that the recognition has been spread across the world.
And Adam, you had a video that I actually haven't seen on a lot of people's lists. That I wanted to ask you about, and that is your number 2, Tennis Court by Lorde. If I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I've seen a Lorde video on any list, it's usually has been Team or Royals, and Tennis Court's kind of been overlooked. So why did you put this one? I'd give it high praise all the way to number 2.
Yeah, for sure. I kept going back to this video all year long. I find that there's a lot of hidden subtleties to the video. And also, it kind of suits the... she has a very minimalistic approach to everything that she does, be it her or her producers. Even her music, basically just you get like a synthesizer and one simple like drum loop and then her vocals, and that's basically every track on the album. And I thought the video was a really cool kind of an aesthetic reflection of that idea. It's very super simple, almost not like nothing happens, just a shot of her with some cool lighting. And I just like what they haven't done in the video. She doesn't lip sync every lyric, and it's all kind of I don't know. I just thought it really, really struck me as something different that I hadn't seen done before.
Yeah, I was glad to see it on your list there, because I had actually I hadn't watched that video in a while since it came out. And you also have some other unique ones on there. New Summer by Young Galaxy and Tiff by Plesia. Actually, I think that was on Isaac's list too. What was the one? The Lilies by Bad for Lashes at number 9, which is a fantastic video that I had actually forgotten a little bit until I saw that on your list.
Yeah, that was definitely an earlier video from this year. Yeah.
I think that's on either BuzzFeed or Pitchfork. It was on one of those. Yeah,
it's popped up a few times. Actually, Consequence of Sound had it on theirs too, among some other really strange choices. But they did have Lilies on there.
Yeah, what is going? Yeah, Consequence of Sound. What is going on over there, you guys?
There's some weird things going on, guys. There's some weird things. I'm wondering though if the music blogs are still like I think the song is still a big part of their decision making process in some of those music blogs, because you're seeing stuff like Heim the Wire, or is it just the Wire, Through the Wire, whatever one it is,
the wire,
which is a great song. It might be their best song, yeah, at least of the singles, and but the video is not their best video. It's a great video, and I think we have it staff picked, but I don't think that it is on the level of their stuff from last year. And so that's been a little bit of a head scratcher in terms of the video.
I tend to agree.
And people's personal taste is going to be personal taste, but I've seen it pop up frequently, and I just didn't. I didn't quite think that video I think that part of that decision was the fact that they're a super hot band right now, and that song is good, and that might be part of that decision making process on some of those music blogs, possibly. I think
maybe even subconsciously, once, because that happens to me. I'll see a video or a song in either order, and if I really like the video, that can kind of enhance the song for me, or vice versa. And I think that probably does happen. But I think you're right. A lot of the music blogs probably don't put as much importance in a music video as music video fans do.
Yeah,
it's a weird line to cross, because it's, you know, music videos are just such a weird hybrid of two different art forms, and they kind of, there's definitely a blurred line between the two. So, you know, that's why in our little blurbs and stuff, I think we made a pretty conscious decision to, you know, not to talk about the music, because I think there are, you know, a million other people are going to talk about the track for, you know, the Arctic Monkeys' Do I Want to Know track. I mean, I think the more important thing is the visuals for us. And I think that song definitely, I mean, I don't think you can make a great video for a shit song, honestly. I think you can make a great video for a mediocre song, but there's such an important aspect of it, that I think the two are kind of inseparable. But yeah, there's been, and we've seen Kanye, one of our, or my at least, least favorite videos of the year, pop up on a few lists, and that is, Black Skinhead by Kanye West, aka Yeezus, and that's my major head scratcher. I could see Haim and all that stuff on there, but the Black Skinhead, I just don't understand.
Completely agree, and I don't think we should make this podcast about calling people out for their picks or necessarily calling videos bad. But that I agree entirely with you. There's been a lot of head scratchers, but yeah, the Black Skinhead is right up there with the craziest one.
So Doug and I were talking a few days ago about just the end of the year is kind of a mile marker for us, because, you know, we kind of do the same things at the end of the year. We do the best of lists and stuff like that, and we're talking about our best of list. We did each of the top five ourselves in 2011. And I think it's like we dropped it like into a podcast. We did it like the very end of a podcast, and I think literally nobody cared or nobody listened to it or heard it or read it, at least.
We didn't even have a place on the website for it. We released it on Tumblr.
Yeah, it was a post on Tumblr. So anyway, that was humble beginnings to that. And I think last year was a little better. It got a little bit of traffic, but we were really excited about the amount of attention this year's best, not to be too vain about it or anything like that, but that we kind of put it out there and didn't know what anybody would think, and we didn't do any promotion for it at all. We just kind of shoved it out on Twitter, and we got a really big reaction, which was a lot of fun, and especially since we put a ton of work into this post and a ton of work putting together the list.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, and not just because you know, it's difficult to whittle down all these music videos to 50. But then it's tough to explain why you picked those music videos, which is why I'm really thankful that Mr. Adam Alexander was willing to do the same for his blog post. Because, yeah, it's pretty difficult to kind of sometimes put into words what makes a music video better than another one. And so, yeah, that was particularly difficult. I had trouble with that.
And I think we had a few instances where we took stuff off the list because we couldn't figure out what to say about it. I think that's a telltale sign. If you're sitting down and you just can't think of any reason to tell people why a music video is good, then you probably doesn't belong there. So we wrote a little paragraph. Doug and I alternated for these. I don't know. Should we go through the list a little bit?
I think we should take down the list. Yeah, definitely. And because there's some overlap between ours and Adam's, and so and I'm sure Adam doesn't hate all of these videos. Maybe we could ask Adam why he didn't pick these videos when we go through them. But yeah, let's stick through it.
So number 10 for us was Afterlife by Arcade Fire. Technically, I mean, we're calling it a version 2. Who knows? We're technically calling the Spike Jonze live version of version 1. And this was directed by one of our favorite directors, Emily Kai Bach, and DP'd by someone who did a top 10 list for us, Evan Profilsky. And this one was a sort of a late entry into the year. This only came out a few weeks ago.
It definitely, I think, for the back half of the year, it's definitely the video that made the biggest impact on me. I think on us, I mean, most of the videos that we have on our top 10 list came not necessarily early on in the year, but they've been out for a while. This is definitely the newest one on there, and it's in the recent memory definitely the video that's made the biggest impact, you know, of the recent videos that came out. And I think that it's even if it would have come out in the beginning of the year, you would have found this video on that list. You know, people have the tendency of to put videos on a list that were recent because they're kind of fresh in your head and you're like, oh, remember how good that video was last week? But you know, this is definitely one, probably definitely the best video, in my opinion, from Emily this year, and she's put out some fantastic ones. So yeah, I think it was an easy one to pick for this top 10.
And I think, you know, I wrote about it in a little post there that, you know, one of the reasons that we like this video so much is that it's a really representative piece of what is possible narratively with a music video. You know, one of the nice things, or one of the interesting things about music videos, is that you can kind of set up characters and explore them, and let kind of the music do some of the character development. Or, you know, you can kind of set up characters, you know, hint at different things about them, and then just kind of, you know, just show them, you know, doing something. I mean, that's not really possible in a feature, obviously. And I don't think it's really as possible in a short film. I mean, even in a short film, you need some sort of narrative arc. And while there are a lot of music videos that have, you know, had narrative arcs within the span of, you know, a pop song, you know, a few, you know, 3-4 minutes, I think what Emily does with this is really interesting, because you definitely get, I mean, in the span of a few minutes, it's kind of interesting the depth that she's able to bring to a few people with a few, you know, words or glances. And you know, it sounds easy, but it's something that's so difficult to do, and a lot of videos come close to, but Emily has a real kind of talent for this.
Definitely. So, number 9?
Number 9. So, I wrote, actually, it's funny that we have the you're tagged as the writer for the second one, for number 9, because I wrote the first half.
I know.
I should read it, because it sounds like you're talking in the third person.
So. I know. Well, what? Yeah, it does. You did write that first half. Whatever. Like, but then the second half, which is the actual reason why we picked this video, was written by me, and therefore, right. But yeah, it does seem like I'm talking. There's Doug Klinger, handsome ass Doug.
So we kind of went back and forth about whether we should include this on the list, but not for the content of it, but whether or not we should include a video that Doug is in. Because if out of the 8,000 or whatever music videos of this year, there's only one that Doug's in, and it happens to be in our top 10. So we, you know, we wanted to kind of...
Well, actually, two. I'm in two videos.
What's the other one?
Radiate video, kind of. My voice.
You're in what video?
The Radiate video.
The Jack Johnson one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you. I didn't know your voice. Oh, well, no. This is you playing a character.
I'm in the screenshot.
Yeah, you're in the screenshot for Vimeo staff picked video. I think this is the more official one.
Sure.
And Doug, talk to us a little bit about because you were there doing a beat behind the scenes.
Yeah. So we were concerned that my concern at least is like, because I was there the whole time for the behind the scenes, and I was able to see what was going on, which was literally just the two brother guys and IO just like running around Long Island, like kind of just making this video happen, just with a video camera. Like they really did not. There was nothing else involved with this process. You know, it was just like little props that they had like gone to the store to get. Like they were pulling them out of little plastic bags. You know, this was a really unique video for what they were able to come up with, and so, you know, initially I was like, well, gosh, am I like, is it because I'm in this and that like I like it so much? But I really think that it's genuine and it goes deeper than that. And I think it's for a few reasons. First of all, I think Brother had one of the best years of anybody for a director this year. They just put out a lot of really consistent great work, and although the work really like was able to build on itself, and you know, you were able to see improvements in their work as it goes on, because these guys are really young still and still kind of developing, I think that this Wasted My Time video, you know, really is what jump started them. And it's got, you know, it's got like just all of the elements that they were able to build on. It seems like a lot of them got established in this video, and so, you know, I think for me, it was my favorite Brother video of definitely, you know, a director duo that had a really fantastic year. And this is just them kind of in their rawest form, no influence, just them running into the woods and coming out with this. And so because of that, you know, I felt like it definitely deserved to be in this top 10.
It's funny because this video came in April, and then just a few weeks ago, just literally a few months after that, they're doing the live, you know, American Music Award visuals for Miley Cyrus. So they've made some interesting leaps in these.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like they've blown. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I definitely feel like this Waste of My Time video was that a big spark and a big part of that, because they did great work before that too, but like, you know, this is really when you start to see that style, you know, really kind of start to take form. So despite me being in this post, I think it's justified.
And I have a question. So, did you get any of the pizza that they were having, the kids were having?
So yeah, I did get some pizza, but no Slurpee.
Brother, what are you guys doing? Not treating your stars? Some pizza and Slurpee, just one or the other.
It's funny that this is the screenshot that David picked. This is, I'm literally in the video for a screenshot.
Yeah, and you're in there for less than a second, pretty much.
Right, definitely. And then here, but there I am. I guess we could have switched it to the Vimeo embed or the YouTube embed where I'm not there. But where's the fun in that?
Zero fun. So let's move on to item number 8. Video number 8, Cool Song number 2 by MGMT, directed by Isaiah Surratt, which was, we did an article, I think we did an interview with Isaiah, and who else, the producer, I think?
No, it was just Isaiah.
Just Isaiah talking about this video, and directors always sometimes do this, they make it sound like it's kind of no big deal. You know, I think they were talking about, you know, writing this, you know, sitting on the floor of an airport and kind of cobbling together the elements to make this. And when you watch this, I mean, this is like kind of feature film quality stuff and feature film level kind of acting too. I mean, this was a movie pretty much in 4 minutes. It had unbelievable color. This was one of the most interestingly colored videos of the year by Alex Bickle. It had, you know, unbelievable acting from Michael Kenneth Williams, and it had, you know, a kind of a plot and some action to it. It was I think the best kind of narrative video of the year,
and it's also the really well developed characters that had a lot of depth to them, especially the you know, that main character. I mean, there were a lot of layers to that guy that come across. You know, he's a character that barely speaks in the video, video. You know what I mean? It's just kind of through facial expressions and how he reacts to the situations that he's in and the things that he has to do, that just provides so much depth to this character as well, which is really, like, it's another thing that was great about the Emily Kaibach Afterlife video, is that, you know, you really saw more, you saw the inside of these characters, you know, you got a little piece of them, what they were about as people. And so, you know, and that's what exists here in this video as well.
And yeah, there's this, I think this is an instance where the video or the song was played such a big part in this, because this is such a weird song for MGMT. It's such like a, it's got this really deep bass to it. It's got a really kind of noisy piano. It's, it was a perfect kind of soundtrack to a story like this. There's this great, that great shot where he grabs the, and he kills the guy through the iron door, the iron, you know, the iron with the bars on
it. It's like fence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got the, you know, he's got that, a look on his face where it's kind of pained. And it, you know, Isaiah times it and his editor times it with the song, really nicely. And anyway, just a beautiful video.
The sun right behind him and stuff.
Yeah, it was just all the elements. You know, it was a pretty unbelievable video, and hence why it's on our list.
Definitely. Adam, did you have your Life is a Lie on your top 10?
No. That's actually a good example of what you were talking about earlier, where I had to make some pretty difficult cuts to get it down to 10. And I saw that one pop up in lots of lists, and I was glad that it did, because it was an awesome video, as was Cool Song number 2. But they didn't make my short list, though.
There actually, we were talking about, there's one point where I was like, we got to add Your Life is a Lie onto the top 10. And then we realized that, you know, having two MGMT songs is probably not that great. But Your Life is a Lie does factor pretty highly into our top 50.
Yeah, I think it's in the top 20 even. Mm-hmm. So Hive, let's move to Hive.
Hive, which is one of my favorite videos of the year, from Mr. Hiro Murai, and our good friends at Doomsday Entertainment. This was one that I think I wrote in the little post that, you know, the collaboration between Earl Sweatshirt and Hiro Murai is really interesting. It's not something that has a lot of videos. They've only done two together, but each one, the other one was Chum. And for some reason, I feel like Hiro just seems to really kind of understand where Earl Sweatshirt comes from on a musical level, and how to translate that into the individuals. Because this song Hive is, I mean, it has that kind of like really kind of deep bass to it, and that sort of electronic bass to it. That's sort of an undertone to the song, but it doesn't have anything in it that necessarily makes you immediately think of something, you know, creepy or weird like this, especially not as dark as Hive is. So, you know, Hiro just seems to have a, you know, an understanding of where to take these songs and you know, take them in a way that Earl Sweatshirt like fits perfectly into this, you know, kind of world that he's able to create. It's not a case of, you know, it's like the director creates this kind of, you know, fantasy land, and then the artist looks out of place in it, and they just look like they don't know what they're doing there. I mean, this feels like, you know, Earl Sweatshirt in his natural element a little bit.
Yeah, like it was like a Hiro Murai created world that was inspired directly by Earl Sweatshirt and influenced heavily by him. And so, yeah, definitely. And it's really interesting. The we also did an interview this year with Hiro about this Hive video. And I asked him about the connection between this and Chum, and he said something that was really interesting to me, that Chum is kind of like a dream that somebody in Hive would have. And that's just like, you know, what kind of like hip-hop artist out there like can have the director of their video kind of say that and have it make sense? Like, you're not going to see, you know, like a Busta Rhymes video. And
well, why? I can't believe he said Busta Rhymes.
No, Busta Rhymes is actually a terrible example, because in the past he's made some fantastic music videos.
Let's go 2 Chainz.
Even 2 Chainz made some bad ones. I mean, made some great ones. But you know what I mean, though? It's just like hip-hop has been, you know, forever, and it's starting to shift. And I think like a large part of that is, you know, this is an example of that shift. But like, you know, hip hop forever was just such a standardized, you know, the music videos for rap were so standardized, and it just had those same elements in there. And you were definitely getting a shift in that. We get a shift in that further up the list with the Tyler, the Creator video.
I think Quad Future is changing that a lot as a whole. Like the whole Future Collective has brought something new to hip hop in terms of the type of creativity.
Yeah, I think that it was really like Yonkers, I think, represents a big shift in that. And I think we're starting to see it, obviously, in more artists outside of On Future, of course, now, because we just mentioned Two Chainz, who's now started to do some really weird things in his music videos as well. But I think, I definitely think that the shift really happened around the time of Yonkers. And I think Yonkers was a big part of it. And so, you know, you're definitely finding that influence here in this, in Earl, and the way that he's also kind of taking his music videos to a really different place. And and Hero's a perfect complement to that.
And it has these, the masks are extremely creepy, first of all. But the other thing that I really love is the wall kind of traveling up in this video. That's one of my favorite kind of details from a music video this year. You know, he's sitting in this darkened living room and then the, you know, the wallpaper is kind of slowly moving up like one of those old, like, you know, Walt Disney World haunted houses.
Haunted mansion shit. Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. it's got all of these little moments that really just like fuck with you. Like the one where Earl's rubbing his eyes and he just moves his hands away and he's got no eyes there and stuff. It's just like little things like that really like left an impact on me. And about those masks, if you go to our Instagram account, you can see a picture of me wearing one. So
that's right.
That's cool.
Forgot
that's
about cool. that.
Let's move to number six. Another video from Doomsday Entertainment this year.
Number six is Kangaroo Court by Capital Cities, directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada and Capital Cities. And Doug, take us through a little bit of this video.
Yeah, because this is another one that we did an interview for. We talked to Carlos about it, and the way that the co-director credit worked is essentially this idea came from Capital Cities, and basically Carlos got brought onto the project to basically make it happen. But they were, you know, heavily involved in the process. And basically the concept of this video is there's a nerdy zebra who tries to get into an exclusive nightclub that doesn't allow zebras. And so he dyes his fur to make himself seem like a stallion or something, and gets into the club, is found out to be a zebra, and then is put up for trial for death, death by lion. And I said the term kangaroo court essentially means like a court that was already up against you or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, well, it's already against you. You can't win already. And that's essentially the situation that this zebra finds himself in. You know, he was going to be found guilty regardless of the situation. Of course, he was and is. And he's sentenced. And the zebra is played – and the zebra and the lion are both played by the members of the band. And they're great in the video as well. And it's just Carlos is definitely, obviously, if anybody on this list is probably going to be one of our favorite directors, and Carlos is definitely one of those. He comes up with some fantastic ideas, and the way he executes things is really great. And this video's got it's a big budget video. It's definitely a big pop video. Capital Cities has had two really big music videos this year. Safe and Sound was also a huge hit, and a huge music video, and it's got that, you know, that independent, like, creative indie music video kind of soul to it, but still kind of it's this big spectacle with all this, you know, makeup and a huge cast and that kind of thing. And it's just like a great combination and shows what can happen when, you know, kind of a band gets on board with an idea.
And, you know, one thing that I really love about this video is that it kind of at first glance seems a little, I mean, it is a very on the nose kind of thing. I mean, like the sort of morality play, but you know, it definitely has a few different levels to it. It's kind of in the tradition of, you know, the American literature that uses animals for stuff. I mean, pretty much everything that I think everybody our age read in like middle school and like early high school was like animals like acting out, you know, human stories and stuff like that. Like, you know, what's that?
To teach you about shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Animal Farm and,
Charlotte's Web
and all these other different things that centered and like Watership Down and like all these other books. I think Watership Down. If not, then never mind. That's with the rabbits. Yeah. And what's the other one with the rabbits? Anyway, there's another one. But anyway, there's this kind of weird tradition of using animals as these kind of stand-ins for other things because we can understand them and kind of detach ourselves from them also. So, you know, I'm not saying that this is like an Animal Farm type of thing, but it definitely had like a weird kind of twisted element to it, especially when they got to the part where they were kind of tearing them apart. And all these, they're very clearly, you know, pieces of pink paper. But it's done in this, it's like this, again, this like hybrid of really graphic violence with this kind of stagecraft that was really, you know, I didn't see any other video this year that kind of was able to pull that off in the way that Carlos did with Kangaroo Court.
Yeah, it's moments like that really stood out. Like you said, like the when the, you know, they're actually like tearing into the zebra and like cutting him up, and how like the room is just like there's just like sausage links and stuff all over the room as well, which is at like actual dead animals it's kind of twisted too for like a video where it's like, oh look, the band's dressed up as a zebra and stuff.
Yeah,
I
haven't seen any other list that has this video on it, and I was half surprised but half. Wait, was that him?
I was just gonna agree that I hadn't seen it on very many, if any.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons is I think it's because on first glance it does seem a little. I mean, the screen cap is, you know, the guy dressed as a zebra with a hoodie on. I think it may it takes a little bit of time to kind of sit down and get to know because it has that kind of novelty aspect to it of the guys dressed with animals. Also, I think because it was the follow up video to Safe and Sound, which was so incredibly successful. I think that people have a natural tendency to kind of, even when something is ambitious, to look at it kind of a second try and go like, oh well. It's great, but it wasn't as good as the first one. And in this case, I think I enjoyed Kangaroo Court more than Safe and Sound.
I think there might be another thing that might play into it too. At least on first glance, it might seem too literal for the title of the song. Like sometimes that's kind of a silly thing, that really literal translation to the music video. But there's more to it, right? It's a good video.
I think it's a great video. It's at number 6 on our list, so it's pretty.
It ought to be.
Yeah, yeah. We'll start tearing it apart. But yeah, we put this out before we saw really anybody else's list, so I was happy to see videos that had others on it, and also ones I was hoping that there were going to be a few that didn't appear anywhere else. So I was glad that we caught that one on there. Number 5. Wait, we're in the top 5 now.
Ooh.
So number 5 is, I guess, probably definitely the most popular in terms of views, I believe, and also in terms of just
from our list.
What's that? Yeah, from our list. And that is "We Can't Stop" by Miley Cyrus. Either the director's cut, Diane Martel's director's cut, or the main cut, which has more of product placement and also has you can always tell the beginning. If Miley chomps the teeth down and there's a sound effect, then you're watching the regular cut. So the reason that we put this up so high, I believe, is that this was a music video more than I think anything else that had super big cultural impact on music and on music videos. And I think a lot of people are going to be pointing to Wrecking Ball, and I can definitely see why. That's the one that everybody's parodied. That came out after We Can't Stop. But I think that before We Can't Stop, we didn't really have a context of which to put like the new Miley Cyrus in, and nobody had any clue that she was going to pretty much dominate a lot of the conversation, you know, from the summer on. And the thing that did it pretty much was, I mean, was this video completely. I mean, I know that the Terry Richardson Wrecking Ball kind of cemented that, and it was like the an outrageous video with the Wrecking Ball in her underwear and licking the sledgehammer and everything. But I think it's really easy to forget and underestimate just how different this was for Miley Cyrus and how good Diane Martel made Miley Cyrus look.
Yeah, and you couldn't get Wrecking Ball without We Can't Stop. And by the time Wrecking Ball came out, Miley was already the business. I mean, she was already what was up. I mean, like you said, which was a very good pun, that Wrecking Ball cemented her spot there.
Did I just say that?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. I think We Can't Stop really did. It was the transition video. It was what built her momentum. The same thing that the Brother video did for them, the Waste of My Time video. It was what, you know, it represents that real launching point for what we know now as Miley Cyrus. And so, I definitely don't think, you know, they couldn't have done Wrecking Ball without this one first at all.
And
you couldn't just been, it couldn't have gone from Party in the USA directly to Wrecking Ball and for that to be like a smooth transition. Like, We Can't Stop was definitely necessary for that.
Well, even more important, I mean, I think it's important to like watch this next to Can't Be Tamed, which was directed by Robert Hales, which was kind of Miley Cyrus's, I mean, it's a little quaint now. I mean, this Can't Be Tamed kind of thing. It was sort of, musically her trying to break out of, you know, the Hannah Montana role thing. And, I mean, it was a good video, and the song was all right. And it was very, very literal in terms of, she's like in a cage and she's like breaking out of it, and she's all dressed in bird feathers, and it's purposely provocative. So, you know, if she came back with something like that, and kind of inartfully tried to, you know, do another thing like, hey, Miley Cyrus is crazy now, it wouldn't have worked. And I think
she probably can't come back from where she's gone now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was so good, and Diane Martel was so brilliant at every element in this video and how she put everything together.
Like, I agree. Adam, you were laughing throughout. Do you have more to add to this?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was just thinking just about how they can't come back from, like, kidding, guys. Hannah Montana's back.
Right, here, like, she is. Shoot, right? that was fake. This is her. Yeah, I don't. I mean, why would you want to come back from where she is? I mean, she's the shit, right? Miley's the shit. And yeah, so, what's the comeback from awesome, I guess?
I wanted to get weirder and work with some, like, more, you know, some different kinds of producers and stuff. I wanted to get even weirder. Like, I think that she's on the right track.
And
the weirder, the better.
Bangers is actually a really good album.
It is.
Yeah, surprised the crap out of me. But anyway.
Well, it does have its faults, but very strong. Definitely one of the top tier pop albums of the year, for sure. Better than some of the ones you'd expect to be, the number one albums. But yeah, no, it's good.
And one more thing about, because I think, so Miley didn't just isn't just like a naked Hannah Montana now. Like, she did more than just sex it up. She also like got really like weird and or unique and different, and that has carried through to this point into her performances and stuff like that. They're all very, you know, sexy as well, but they're also, you know, very different, and she's doing things that, you know, aren't just her taking her clothes off. And I think a lot of that was also established here in this We Can't Stop video. And I think it's important to recognize that.
And or she had that quirkiness all along. That's the other possibility, right?
Oh, well, I believe she did. Hannah Montana was a character. She was an actress. And yeah. Now she's being Miley Cyrus and as an artist that is trying to put themselves out there. And so, yeah, I do believe that this is probably a lot closer to what Miley Cyrus is like in reality than anything she's done up until this point. I fucking hate you.
No, IFHY.
Okay.
That's number four. Doug, tell us about this video.
Ooh, this video. This video. Tyler, the Creator, off of his album Wolf, which is a fantastic album from 2013. This video is directed by Wolf Haley, who is Tyler, the Creator. The concept of this video, which is very twisted, is Tyler is a doll in a dollhouse. And he's got a girlfriend, maybe ex-girlfriend, who's also living in this dollhouse. And the subject matter of IFHY, this song, is it's pretty aggressive. He's shouting, "I fucking hate you," frequently. But it's also, you know, it's "I fucking hate you, but I love you." You know, it's like a guy who's been recently... you know, a relationship has recently come to an end, and he still has very intense feelings for the lady that he used to be in a relationship with, and he's aggressive and angry at her, but also still loves her dearly. And it's essentially that moment that's being played out in this dollhouse. And that's the kind of the elevator pitch of this video, but really what makes this video appealing is what's not in the elevator pitch, and that's how everything looks and how Tyler plays it and just kind of the strangeness that exists throughout the video.
Yeah, so we mentioned that I think one of the most interesting bits of this is the prosthetics that Tyler the Creator has on. It makes it, it's like if anybody has seen anybody on there's a certain type of medicine that makes your face puff up. It kind of looks like that. And even
like steroids that people have to take when they... I have no idea what to talk about.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, there's this image of him on the couch that's at the screenshot and is, of you know, like the first minute of the video, and he's kind of like hunched over and stuff. You know, it's definitely like a weird place for a hip-hop artist to put themselves in. Like, put them, you know, A, to write a kind of produce a track like this, but also to, you know, purposefully kind of like disfigure themselves and purposely kind of, you know, hunch themselves over and, you know, do everything that if you're trying to make yourself, you know, look like a typical guy in a hip hop video is exactly what you know, don't want to do. And, you know, I think the set design is also really fun for this video. Like, the walls are painted with clouds. It's like, definitely a dollhouse. And if you look outside the window, it's got the lake from the Wolf album cover. And I don't know the name of the woman who plays the girl doll. We don't have that on the site, but she also does a really fantastic job.
And it's definitely, her look is, you know, it's... Tyler has, a type... And he's very public.
Yeah, I find it weird that you know that what his type is.
Well, he makes it very obvious, and also I've, you know, heard people talking about the casting of this video, and he was very particular about what the female character needed to look like, and she needed to have like freckles and you know, was very, there were very specific characteristics that character needed to have, and yeah, the woman in the video possessed all of those characteristics. But yeah, he's very public with like his type and what he looks for in a lady. And just one look at his Twitter account, and you'll find it.
So I think one of my favorite things about this video is the song is like all about pacing. I mean, it'll go for, you know, the beat for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, like he'll come in with that, you know, that "I fucking hate you," and it's like this really kind of abrupt change, and not in tone, but just like kind of like a onslaught of, you know, him and you know what he's saying. And they'll do the same thing in the video too. Like they when he's placed into the upper, you know, part of the dollhouse. I mean, they just kind of stand there for a few seconds. There's all this like tension communicated through, you know, just the way they're moving and like, you know, when they stand and still and when they're, you know, when he's moving through a door and things like that. It's really well kind of choreographed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I've seen the, another thing that Tyler tweeted was essentially like it looks just like a napkin with the house drawn on it. And it's got like all these arrows going through it and stuff like that. And it's essentially the choreography for this video. And, I look at this and I look at the way that he was kind of presenting it on that napkin. And it just seems like this entire thing was in his head first. And like, this is kind of exactly what he probably envisioned. He's really like some of the videos and the ideas and the concepts that he comes up with as a director are just completely insane and amazing. And so he really is a fantastic director.
He is, and if you go, he's under. Do we have a separate? Yeah, we have a separate. Yeah, Wolf Haley
page. Yeah.
Yonkers. We're just talking about the kind of the reach of Yonkers. That's one of them, and like Rella, which was on our list last year, and
definitely. But even this year, like he's really expanded beyond like just doing stuff for Odd Future as well. He did a music video called "Glowing" by a. For a while, they weren't saying the name of the artist, but the artist has since been revealed as an artist named DA. But this was a really, like, it was kind of like an indie song. It wasn't a hip-hop song at all. And it was a really, really great music video as well, Glowing by DA. Really fantastic, too. And so, yeah, he's really kind of expanding. And then he also did a string of, directed a string of Mountain Dew commercials that got banned. But and they didn't.
It's a good thing to put in your resume. My Mountain Dew commercials got banned.
But I mean, the things that you can do in a music video, you can't really do in an advertisement. And so, you know, the buttons that he pushes in a lot of his stuff is he pushed in those commercials as well, and it didn't really go his way. But either way, fantastic director, yeah, really great. Made it on our list 2 years in a row as director.
Congratulations, Tyler.
He's stoked about it. So Bubble Butt, let's go to Bubble Butt, y'all.
Bubble Butt. Actually, have you seen this on people's lists? I haven't looked, so.
Yeah, it's been around a little bit.
It's been on some of the lists that we've that we curate, that we had people curate for us. I've also seen the Beach House video.
Yeah, the Beach House one more so than this one. Definitely. Which
surprises me.
I don't know. I know, man, why it's on our list.
They're both awesome.
They are both.
I mean, they're both awesome. It's tough. And they're both in our 50. But
with Ray Wise is in the Beach House one, right?
Right.
All
right.
Yeah.
So Bubble Butt is. I don't know. I always knew. I kind of knew it was gonna be in our top ten.
The day it came out, you knew.
The day it came out, because, well, first of all, really big Tim and Eric fans, and this has less of the Tim and Eric style in it, but it has little elements of it. But it, I think the reason that we really wanted to put this on here is because one of the criteria we used was something that kind of we kept going back to again and again, and I think honestly the reason I kept coming back to this video was not the butts, like
not only the butts, at least.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the butts in this video are not exactly, it's not
your
my
type of butt. Oh,
not my type of butt.
Interested in every butt in this video.
Well, there's a lot of different, as I said in the post, there's many different sizes of butt in Bubble Butt. But obviously, you know, this is a song that was Major Lazer, but it had some really big names on it. It had Bruno Mars on it. That's got to be the highlight of his career, doing the Bubble Butt chorus. Maybe he'll do it at the Super Bowl this year. You never know.
Two Chainz,
and which he did not appear on one of the versions. Tyga, and I'm not sure who else.
Mystic,
that's right. All who I'm fans of, and they do a great job of it. But it was definitely kind of like a novelty song in a way. You know, it's got the it's talking about butts, and every verse is about butts. Not to say that, you know, a rap song can't be about butts, but it definitely had, you know, like a novelty aspect to it. You know, the song is called Bubble Butt. So then the video comes along, and you're going to expect, you know, some butts in there. And there's definitely some butts in there. But I think this is, a really insanely fun video. I think the intro was one of my favorite intros. The three girls dancing to the most like ridiculous beat that has like a dolphin in it, and then one of the details that I love is that they take a picture of the girl and she inexplicably has a dolphin, so there may be some sort of background to that. and they're dancing and they're like, you know, when she's posing, they're like, look like a slut. But then it kind of breaks so out into good. This really, and you know, one of the things I pointed out is in a song of all dudes, there are no dudes in this whatsoever, not even like once. Breaks out into this kind of like weird circus like dance thing, where these women come out of nowhere and do these dances, and it turns into a really not technically you know, amazing, really fun and interesting dance video.
Well, I do think that there is some amazing technical things though in this video, and it's not there is definitely some Eric Wareheim directed videos that are like full on Tim and Eric, you know, look like it could have come from Awesome Show, and this definitely doesn't have that, but it's definitely got, you know, still that a lot of that influence in there, and it's some of it is really like some of it's really well done, and it's also like you could just tell just like that every element of this video seemed really like as insane as it appears when you watch it, and it just is like, all right, let's get 30 girls who know how to shake their butt in different ways and put them in this room. Like it actually is a lot more kind of methodically planned out than that, which is also something that you realize after watching it like 75, 80 times, like I have. I mean, definitely this is one of the videos that I definitely watched the most this year. Maybe the video I watched the most for a variety of reasons, for a boatload of reasons. But yeah, just a fantastic video. And I don't know. To me, it just I think it fit the song also so perfectly. I mean, Major Lazer does a lot of really great videos, and a lot of them with Eric, but like this is the exact video that this song needed to get, and so
nobody else could have directed it.
Not like this,
like a perfect fit. Yeah,
not like this. Yeah, not exactly. And it's like knowing Eric Wareheim like as a performer and stuff, it also like for me it softens some of the like over the top like sexiness of it, you know, just like it really like runs in that direction, like you said in the post, Adam, but just kind of like knowing, you know, it's different than depending on who directs the video, you makes you think of how the nudity is treated differently. You know, we give Eric some credit here where maybe we wouldn't give Terry Richardson, and so and so it's just interesting about that.
And to me, the stars of this video are the trio of girls that are dancing. I don't know, they're wearing like kind of yellow. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have they're kind of like the star of the show in terms of like them actual dancing.
Them and the one main girl who flies in at the beginning.
Exactly,
they do a lot together. But everyone's really talented dancer too. I mean, the dancing they're doing is crazy. But like full split with one of the legs straight up in the air, just like shaking all the things. But but like it's really complex and difficult. And all these ladies are very talented. And in fact, one of the girls who are in the very beginning of the video who get their butts blown up with air or with bubble, I don't know with what. But one of those girls is named Lexi Hulme, I think is how you say her name, Hulme. And she's been in a lot of music videos this year where she's doing all sorts of dancing, not necessarily dancing that is butt centered, but like just like ballet and very like, you know, serious forms of dancing as well. And so, you know, this is not just people shaking their butts. There's a lot of choreography and planning involved in these butt shakings.
And but the one thing I will dock this video for is during one of the overhead shots where we see the three ladies in the pink, or sorry, the yellow, is that one of them has their tag out.
Oh, fuck.
Maybe like deep down inside of me, there's like some vestige of OCD that's like, I really want to put that tag in. Gotta shove
that tag back.
I can't believe Eric Wareheim didn't catch that on the monitor. But whatever, that's why it's at number three and not number one.
Yep, that's it. That tag down two levels. Take fucking that. Yeah.
And I think it's a really big testament that really important to point out that a lot of these novelty videos come out a lot. There are definitely artists. I can't remember what the name of that song was, but that they did a thing with like giant boobs or butts or whatever. And then, but a lot of times it just doesn't, I mean, it'll get views on novelty, but it just doesn't work. It's just not something that, it's really tough to make something like this if people want to come back to.
Yeah, it was that, was it the Flo Rida and Pitbull
song? Yeah, that one.
I mean, it was still a fantastic video too. I can't remember who directed that now. I still love that video too, but yeah, it doesn't have with that extra something that I think Bubble Butt does.
So number two, I think this is something that our number two, Adam, was your number one.
Yep.
Why don't you take it for this one?
Sure. So this video is a very awesome video directed by Fleur and Manu, who are, I believe, a French director duo.
They are.
That's right. Yeah. So I knew of their work first from their series of M83 videos, which were all really, really good. And this was actually my first introduction to Gustafelstein too. I hadn't heard any of their stuff prior to seeing this video. And so that kind of gives a basis for it. In high school, all I listened to was industrial music and nothing but. So, and the EBM, which is kind of the dancier version of industrial music. And this track is a major throwback to that sound, that German dance industrial stuff. And so is the video. It's, videos weren't big in that genre at the time, but this is exactly the kind of video that I would imagine would have been made for these tracks. So what goes down in this video is in these tracking shots, we see various images and themes that kind of have like a running social commentary in them about corporate corruption and greed and all kinds of other really cool things. But the way that they're shot, I think those tracking shots are part of what's awesome about this video, but also just the imagery. You can pull like almost any still from this video and you'll get like an amazing, just basically a screenshot of coolness. So yeah, and it goes with the track really well too. Like that's a big thing for me, that it enhances the music, and being that it's an instrumental track even more so, I find that a visual or a music video for a track that's instrumental can really help to give the music more, listenability, I guess.
It is a word. And the some of the tracking shots are just by themselves just completely insane. There's one that starts at the minute point that's like something like 72 seconds long or something like that. It's just like an insane tracking shot, and obviously, like so much happens in it. It starts with a close up of a beautiful woman's naked butt, and it just pulls backwards through a car, past a series of people, and you know, eventually ends on a bunch of engineers working on a jet. And obviously, I mean, this stuff could not have all been actually in the same room at once. You know, I think that this is a series of shots that they have, you know, kind of stitched together to make it seem like they were in one shot. But either way, it is just such a thing to kind of just watch kind of play out. And so, but you agree, Adam, that's, I we didn't do an interview on this one, but I mean, that it had to be, right? There's no way that this stuff was all in some big warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how they did it. Whatever they did, it was pretty flawless. I think right. that, there is that one shot that I think is pretty memorable because it also is the screenshot, which also has a little bit of boob. And this is one of those videos that definitely has that sense of, like, once you're done with it the first time, you're like, oh, shit, this is going to take me a while, because it has all those, you know, like, kind of literal layers. Like, once you absorb one image,
you're like halfway through the next.
Yeah, you're halfway through the next. But you're not just like shown them in one. You know, it's not like here's the butt, here's the car. You know, here's a girl. You know, woman spitting at you. It's they come in layers, and they come. You know, you move through them. It's a really interesting experience.
You got to watch it more than once. There's tons of symbolism, and I see some every time I watch it. I catch something different that I didn't see on prior viewings.
I think it would be interesting to point out one of the symbols in there, because that's something that I've kind of wondered about everybody's interpretation. Is there one that maybe Adam you could point to?
Yeah, I love the finger pointing. There's one shot where there's a bunch of men in suits, and they're all kind of pointing the finger at everyone else, which is kind of like a corporate corruption kind of a theme, right? Where it's not our fault, it's their fault, and it's their fault, and then it's no one's fault. Chaos ensues.
and what do you? I was
or silence.
Yeah, exactly. No, I definitely agree with that. And then there's the because she is in the screenshot, she's kind of the mascot for this video, the woman who spits. I don't really know what she's in there for. That's something I've kind of wondered about.
Yeah, I feel like there's a reason for everything in this. I don't know them all, but
mm-hmm.
Well, that scene starts off obviously as it's not just a butt; it's a naked model standing in front of a backdrop, and then it pulls out through a car where there's another woman who looks like a model who's not just upset, but upset directly into the camera lens. And then we pull back even further to reveal this even far more aggressive, and more angry woman. So angry that, she doesn't care that her boob's hanging out. And, she spits at the camera. So obviously the anger is directly at the camera, and so
at us essentially.
Maybe it's a remark on the objectification of
something like that.
Totally could be.
And there's just one of the interesting moments, or the interesting effects of doing a shot like that is after she spits at you, you kind of, and when you're starting to see the top of this jet that is being worked on, you can kind of see her have like a moment, like after you've left. I mean, she puts her hair, hands on her head through her hair, and kind of just stands staring out into space, like she's been kind of traumatized. It's one of those videos that I don't think we could go, I don't think anybody could go through and say like, there's the clue, there's the cookie on the floor from the first frame. It's like not one of those things. I think it's much more, it's much more of an experience than anything else. In terms of music videos, I mean, this has been a year where all of these different ways of making music videos, 24-hour music videos and music videos with 17 different TV channels, just to make it a different, more memorable experience. And I think Fleur and Mano did that here with 2D, with the regular old tools.
Yeah, right. That's a good point too. And a lot of people we do a monthly email, and we highlighted in last month's email the fact that it was a red letter month for interactive music videos, and it really was like a lot of people put out really kind of noteworthy interactive music videos, and we got a reply to the email of someone who was just very angry about interactive music videos, and they were like, fuck that, that's not real storytelling, they were just upset about the fact that like interactive music videos are not traditional filmmaking.
You didn't tell me about that.
Oh, sorry. I thought you got those too.
But you always assume that I get the contact. I don't.
So somebody was really upset. They're like, "That's not real storytelling." And then they sent another email. They're like, "Oh, but we love your site, by the way." So they wanted to make it clear that they weren't angry at us. They were just reacting to the interactive music videos.
That's another. You know, I have an issue with people putting stuff like the Bob Dylan video on like Best of Lifts. I can definitely see the happy one, but I mean, it's a discussion for a whole nother podcast. I think we need to do an entire one just on interactive music videos. Was
actually, Pitchfork's number one might have been the Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
one.
That's I just
cheating. I think it's cheating.
I have a real big issue with that, and it definitely fits in with our angry emailer there, because, and I'm not, you know, obviously we run a website and we're not Luddites or anything like that, but there's just. It's a fun novelty. It's a fun thing, but it's just, it's not the. What are you thinking? The best music video of 2013. I just don't understand what's going through your head.
Yeah, I really like when, you know, I like people like Chris Milk and Fourklops who seem to just be really interested in kind of exploring what can be done with these technologies, and I love some of the stuff that they've come out with, and I'm in a huge support of that. But I just it's different when you're I don't think you put that Bob Dylan video at the top of your list. Like, that's not going to be what I remember from this year personally.
No, and I think that a lot of the reason that people are kind of interested in that is because it's just this rush to what's next, or rush to like call something out as a future or something. And I think when they see like this Bob Dylan video, they say like, oh, like this is the future of music videos, like these interactive videos. Like, and I think interactive videos have their place. I think that they've had some missteps along the way, and this is, I think, a step in the right direction, but I think it's just part of the story. I mean, when you're talking about, images from 2013, a lot of them are music video images, and a lot of them have nothing to do with any sort of interactivity. They're just classic images. I mean, the Wrecking Ball and Blurred Lines and all that, you know, all those kind of images that we have become part of, you know, what everybody's going to remember about this year.
Yeah, it's not going to be the fact that they can flip from Drew Carey to Property Virgins, and those people are singing a Bob Dylan song. Yeah, I don't think that's gonna be like, number one.
So number one obviously is a super difficult thing to do, especially in a year that has so many awesome ones. You know, blah blah blah. Everybody does the same song and dance at the beginning of their list. Like, it's so difficult to do this. But again, I think one of our criteria is one of the things that we came back to, and this is a music video that initially I watched and I was like, huh, okay. And maybe a few weeks later I was like, I'm going to watch, I just want to see this video again. And then I just kind of kept watching it. And it's Portugal the Man's Modern Jesus, directed by A.G. Ross, DP'd by Michael Reagan. And this is another one, one of the few on the list that we did an interview with, not with A.G. Rojas, but with Michael Reagan. And this was...
And also with Portugal the Man.
That's right, and also with Portugal the Man. I forgot about that. And so this is a music video that is documentary style, I guess. I think it's half documentary style, half, other sort of made elements. And what Michael Reagan and Corbett Jones, who's a producer, and Anna Rao, who's another producer, and A.G. Ross did is they went across, I think it was 15 states. And how long did it take up, Doug?
I think it was 20 days.
It was not an unsubstantial amount of time. And they were basically in a van. And they rode through, you know, the American Midwest, I think, into the West. And they just filmed things. And they put it together into this music video. And... You know, I love documentaries, and I think I'm partial to them, which is one of the reasons that I like this video so much. But I think this is a lot more than a sort of road music video or a documentary music video or something like that. What A.G. was able to do was, you know, create something that you know, not only just like sort of built onto the music, but kind of heightened it and explained it in a way that I don't think a very like select handful of music videos are able to do. It also has a lot of really provocative and weird imagery. I mean, they stumbled upon some complete weirdos in this video.
And some crazy things, you know, cows being born and that kind of thing. I mean, a lot happens. A lot happens in this music video and in that 20 days.
One of the centerpieces of it is the guy who has his hand on fire from the screen cap is these guys who do this, you know, this wrestling, amateur wrestling stuff that is super the real thing as far as what we have heard, in terms of, like, when you see that guy put barbed wire on another guy and then body slam him on top of the barbed wire, that's actual stuff going down.
Yeah, that backyard wrestling shit. And there was actually kids at my high school who used to do that, and they would come to school just completely fucked up, like not able to walk, just gashes and stuff. I mean, that's real life. They take what they fake on TV and actually do it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know, America.
Yeah, and I think America kind of factors really big into this music video. I mean, there's the song, you know, Modern Jesus. You know, the chorus goes, you know, we don't need no modern Jesus. It's about like an us, a kind of, and obviously since they're talking about Jesus, it's sort of a comment on, you know, organized religion and, you know, the you know, being something that's a part of, you know, something that's such like a social structure of America. And what AG and, you know, the rest of these guys did was go through and kind of capture people who are on the fringe in a way, and sort of aimless. They're all doing activities that they it feels like they would have done them if you know, AG and would have stumbled upon them or not, you know. Yeah. I mean, these guys would have been doing backyard wrestling if but they're none of them are like going anywhere or doing things. They're just doing things. And they're doing things outside of the mainstream, and they're not real. They're kind of aimless in a way. It's a music video like traveling across the country and finding people just kind of, you know, wasting their time in a way, and it's really fascinating to watch.
I don't know if I have anything to add to that. I think you've summed it up.
You know, it's tough to actually describe like why we chose this as number one, but this year was one where we both put it at number one, and we're like, yep, do we have any arguments over this? And there was absolutely none. We kind of both agreed on it.
To clarify, I said we did an interview with Portugal the Man. We actually did a video with John Gourley of Portugal the Man, who is the man in this video as well. Portugal the Man is a band.
Right.
I hope I said his name right.
I think you did.
Pretty close.
So there we go. I think that it was really tough to... I think it was also tough to put this list together because we knew that people would, like a lot of these people we now are in contact with, and I wouldn't... And, you know, we knew there was a good chance they would see this list. That was also kind of a interesting aspect of this that we didn't have to deal with the years past. We could just go throw things out and be like, this is what we like, you know, fuck everything else. But
fuck you guys. I know there was a lot of stuff that we would have liked to also, you know, there was a lot of videos that we thought deserved end of the year recognition that just didn't fit in 50, you know, and I'm like, and there's got to be a limit, right? Like I considered us doing 100, but then when we get to 100, it's like, oh, but man, they're just like doing like, here are the best 6,000 videos of 2008. Why 2008? Do we have time to go through our superlatives?
Oh man, we're at an hour and a half. I think we got to cut it off.
Son of a bitch.
I know.
And we can't even talk about anything from this week as well. Oh, well.
We'll talk about Saturday next week.
Well, that doesn't make sense. Deal? Rebecca Black came out with Saturday. Do we? Whatever. Let's just stop. Nothing. There's nothing to talk about. I watched this R. Kelly cookie video for nothing.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, that was it. That was our top 10 of the year. Thank you for sticking with us and letting us ramble through that. And I also want to definitely give a huge thanks to Isaac Ravishankara, brother, the Prez brothers, Norton, Adam, thank you, from Fringe Music Fix.
Evan Proflowski.
And that was
and it. We got a few more. We got a couple more. Ian Perlman sent one over. Who else, Adam?
You're the one that gets them.
No, other Adam. Who else did we get one from?
Oh, yeah, we've got Enos is Rappy. Yeah, he's going to have one.
Enos.
And maybe are you publishing that one? Or?
Yeah, it's coming out tomorrow. So
all right.
It'll be out when this podcast is out.
Cool.
So there we go. You know where to find us on the Twitter machine and the Facebook machine and on the web. And until next week, we'll see you guys later.
I wanted to point out is some of these websites are releasing multiple lists. Have you guys noticed this?
No.
So BuzzFeed has the 24 that has a post at 24 of the most brilliant videos from 2013, and then they have 23 best music. Oh shit!
What?
This is a 2012 list.
That's staying. Yeah. Okay. It's going on the end of the podcast. So
we had a bit of time travel. Good. Continue on.
Can you believe that these people are saying that they're releasing multiple bests of music video lists with just different every numbers year? After it?
Every year.
It was a really.
I mean, I could. Yeah.